Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
Hey, today is Tuesday, April 12th. Welcome to another episode of All Things Political. A lot going on, national stage in terms of politics. Not too much. It's kind of quiet right now on the state and county level, but there's some municipal races that are heating up, and there are some Board of Education races that are heating up here in Essex County, namely in Irvington and in Newark. I think those are the two that are, folks are paying most close attention to. And then May 10th, you have a municipal race in Orange where you have some council folks who are up for re-election along with Mayor Dwayne Warren. And then in Irvington, you have some council races going on there as well. But I want to welcome to the show tonight. Usually sometimes I do a lot of this by myself, which is fine, but it's always nice to have a guest with me. I want to welcome John Thompson from East Orange to the show. We're going to be talking about, some very interesting things with that are going on in East Orange, some things that John wants to, bring attention to, something called Upward East Orange, and, we'll get that going. Welcome to the show, John. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me, Mr. Dawson.
Yeah, man, always. Eric, brother. Eric, all day. All day, Eric.
Okay. All right.
So listen,
I don't
man.
Want to be so formal.
No. Eric is cool. A lot of stuff going on, man, and I got my television, and it's on mute right now, and, they're talking about the battle for Broadway, but, I think in New York it's really going to be a battle in the Bronx and in Brooklyn, man, with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. There's a lot going on there. Bernie's, bringing in 20,000 people, man, to a crowd, and these folks are saying that he's still losing, that they don't see a pathway for him to get the nomination. What's your thoughts about that, man?
I think it's ludicrous in a sense where, you can have, a race decided by, I think they call it superdelegates. You can have a race decided by superdelegates, even if, in fact, if the populist vote, the electoral vote, which is the governed by the people, supersedes, let's say Hillary, for instance. If he should happen to win New York, which, is a possibility, I heard earlier today coming, while I was in the car that, people actually are responsible for, I think 121, 138 delegates. The remaining mm-hmm. delegates are controlled by the superdelegates. So even if, in fact, hypothetically speaking, if Hillary loses, say, 54 to 46%, she still may possibly get, almost an even of delegates. And I think it's
look at what happened in Wyoming, man. I mean, Wyoming's a perfect example, isn't it? Bernie won almost 57% of the vote, something
yep.
like that, and Hillary was in the mid-40s, and they split the delegate count. So Bernie gained nothing, and
in
it
fact,
was interesting.
She got four more.
She got, that's
she
right.
She got four
that's
more. She got
right.
11. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And that's all yep. tied into that whole superdelegate stuff.
Right. And so folks are asking, so here's the interesting part, right, and the thing that I find most fascinating. You have the Democrat Party, really, and I got my theory about this whole thing. I think that at the end of the day, you have the Democrats and you have the Republicans, but they all feed into the same common interest, right? Now, they have some individual interests within the common interest, and I'm saying the common interest being, the wealthiest in America who control all of this stuff. But now within there, You know, you have some things that the Democrats want specifically, and you have some things that Republicans want. But at the end of the day, you know, they're pushing money toward whatever their special interests are. But what's happening right now that I'm most fascinated with is how the cover is being taken off of this whole charade. You know, you got the Democrats always talking about wanting to engage voters, get voter participation, and they talk about voter suppression on the Republican side. But now you look at what's happening, man, and this is going to lead to, I think, the greatest voter suppression ever, because people look and say, like in Wyoming, why vote? Why bother? If at the end of the day you're going to give it to him anyway, why the hell am I coming out?
And it's so funny you should have we're having this conversation, because I was speaking earlier at a Starbucks with a buddy of mine. You know, the sad part is, you know, the founding fathers, I don't like to often delve back into this, but the founding fathers never imagined an electoral race ever being decided by what they call superdelegates. The convention that's going to take place regarding the Republicans, you know what? They help create this monster, which is Donald Trump, and now that they have no control over him or Ted Cruz, you know, they have been, from my understanding, have been making backroom deals about siphoning delegates away from him, which is what Ted Cruz did in Colorado. So, you know, however your feelings are about Donald Trump, what Donald brings to the table at least is a form of honesty in terms of how corrupt the system actually is. And I see Bernie, and Bernie does the same thing from, you know, from a Democratic perspective. So, you know, how they both tie in, far as I'm concerned, is you made an excellent point. You know what? They are both serving the same master, which is money. And so, which is why I am an avid supporter of Mr. Sanders. And you didn't ask me, but I'm offering it. I, you know what? The guy is literally speaking from a platform of us. Of people who know that the system is rigged, but because of lack of information or because of the fact that you have so many other things going on in your life, it's impossible to be able to nail it down as to what is actually causing all this. And it is the invisible hand of politics and money. And money.
Well, and it's interesting, man. Again, for me, to watch Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe, say, I mean, this is a quote from him. He says, why even vote for Bernie Sanders when the race is already rigged for Hillary Clinton? So when you hear some mainstream folks start to use the word that Bernie Sanders brought to the forefront of this campaign season, you're talking about a rigged system. And so now you hear people talking about it. You know, and then there was a clip that I wanted to try to download and play on the show where Donald Trump is actually coming to the defense of Bernie Sanders because the same thing is happening to him, right? And so there was a video where he was saying Bernie keeps winning and winning and winning and winning, but the people keep saying he can't win. He's going to lose. He keeps winning. Yep. That means he's not getting any delegates. And now here's a quote from Donald Trump. Donald Trump says they offered regarding these superdelegates or the ones that were in Colorado, right? He says they offer them trips. They offer them all sorts of things, and you're allowed to do that? This is what Trump said. You know, he says, of the method of which they use to woo delegates. He says, I mean, you're allowed to offer them trips, and you can buy them all these votes, and you can buy all these votes? What kind of system is this? Donald goes on to say. He said, now I'm an outsider, and I came into this system, and I'm winning the votes by millions of votes. But the system is rigged. It's crooked, corrupt. And so when Donald Trump says there will be a riot in the streets at the convention if he's not nominated, if he doesn't win, let's assume he's unable to get the necessary delegate votes leading up to the convention, and then he goes into the convention, if they take it away from him, because the reality is, I mean, you tell me if you agree with this, the reality is they're not taken away from Donald Trump. They're taken away from those millions and millions of people who voted for Donald Trump. They're essentially saying to those millions and millions of people, your vote didn't really count. At the end of the day, we were that safeguard for the establishment that said if you voters had the audacity to think for yourselves and vote in your own interest, then we would correct the system and we would cast votes so that the status quo was maintained.
Exactly.
There is going to be
that,
a riot.
That's what's going and I'm sorry, brother, and that's exactly what's going on the Democratic side. So it literally is about protecting the status quo. And so, you know, from a topical level, which is on the federal level, you know, the state level, well, before we delve into the state, and look at how the Republicans have gerrymandered their districts throughout the country to stay in power. Now, I don't know if you heard about what happened. I think it was yesterday where almost 400 people were arrested on, I think, at the Capitol building in D.C., because, you know, these people are upset with the fact that how, you know, Republicans have managed to, you know, woven into, I guess, law in these districts and stay in power consistently. And, it's, and dude, that is not that's not a democratic society. It's not.
Listen,
we are,
man.
You know, we're on the brink of something. I can, you know, and it's sad that, you know, I think what ultimately wound up happening was so many people fell asleep at the wheel because, you know, they never realized, and I can't quite remember where I got this quote from, but people generally are hardwired to look out for self-interest. They just are. So the reason behind, you know, all of these regulations, these rules, you know, these, you know, you need in a society, a civilized society, you need laws, rules, and regulations. But when you have a select group that comes in and commandeers, you know, your democracy and makes it so to where, you know, getting back to your point you made about how, you know, we don't trust you enough to put the right person in, you know, in the White House or in a political seat, so we will override you with this superdelegate or at this convention because of the fact that we're going to divvy up the delegates accordingly to how we see it. Dude, that's not a democracy.
Well, that's right. It's not, man. And the organization that you were referring to out of Washington, they're called Spring Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the organization. And, yeah, they said that they broke the record for the most number of people arrested outside the U.S. Capitol yesterday. Tell you, man, or a couple of days ago, rather. But it is crazy, man. And I think, again, Bernie Sanders has – I think he's got it right. And so there are two reasons why I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton and I'm supporting Bernie Sanders. One is this myth, and I got to tell you, man, you know, I'm frustrated with some black folks because of how they look at the Clintons. And this whole idea that the Clintons have had a relationship with the African-American community. They've had an abusive relationship with the African American community, but you know, I think that it was all set off, and it's iconic, actually, that image of Bill Clinton with the sunglasses, with the Ray-Ban sunglasses on the saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show. You know, and black folks identified with that, and they started calling him the first black president. You know, not because he had done anything momentous. You know, for black people, that he could be considered an honorary black person, if you have such a thing, but simply because he was cool. And,
yeah.
And we were identifying with cool. We were identifying with emotionalism, not practical things that were beneficial for us as a people. And he carried that wave. And then the other thing, and we had a huge debate on one of the other radio shows I do with my co-host Ozma. Folks were talking about how the 90s were so prosperous. Lest you forget that was during the tech boom, and which had nothing to do with Bill Clinton. So if you were to remove all of those jobs that came through Silicon Valley, which had nothing to do with him,
mm-hmm.
His presidency wasn't all that terrific. Then we can look at the welfare reform, which wreaked havoc in our community. We could look at the infamous crime bill, which wreaked havoc in our community and led to mass incarcerations, broke up families. You know, you have now single moms trying to raise their kids while these black men are in jail, and the community just crumbled. You know, and I'll tell you, man, with all of that, and we talked about this before we came on air, with all of that, the lack of sensitivity that the Clintons still have, that yesterday Hillary and her staff would allow a joke in front of an audience of black folks that was recited by Bill de Blasio in New York, when he, you know, said that he was endorsing her, and she said, "It's about time," and he said, "I'm operating on CP time."
Yeah.
Now, you know, and I think the worst thing for me, John, is to look and see the silence, the absolute silence of Tavis Smiley, of Al Sharpton, of Jesse Jackson. All of those guys, where are they? Now, if Bernie Sanders had said something like that, oh, that would have been the very reason that they would have come and said, now, see, we have to support Hillary. But Bernie's walking this tightrope, man, which is making them have to expose themselves for being the absolute criminals to the African-American community. And, you know, I call them poverty pimps to the African-American community, because there's no reason. Given what Bernie Sanders stands for, every single African American leader should be supporting Bernie Sanders right now. You know, but I was appalled by his whole CP time comment.
And I will also toss into the Clinton accomplishments. They actually reversed Glass-Steagall, which was the bill that separated Main Street from Wall Street, and whether people choose to acknowledge this or not, Bill Clinton technically created this financial meltdown that we've experienced. So the firewall that was put in place after the Great Depression, you know, I can't recall exactly the president. It may have been Truman or Roosevelt, but, you know, they actually had that stuff erected to prevent another catastrophe that happened in the 30s. And so Clinton, I read this book, I can't quite remember the name of it, but, you know, he signed this repealed the law with one of the bankers sitting in his office from Chase Manhattan, from the Chase Bank, and that set the wheels in motion for how the economy ultimately came to a crashing halt. And many people don't even know that. They don't even know that. So I'm with you on that. You know, I was a fan of Bill and Hillary until I started doing my homework. And when they went out of their way and made this reference to the fact that when they were running against President Barack Obama, well, then Senator Barack Obama, you know, anything could happen. What if he gets killed? Those were Hillary's words when he was beaten her, I think, in South Carolina. And, you know, after that, you know what, I totally fell off the map with supporting her. Totally fell off the map. So here we are yet again in the cyclical moment where we as a people – have an opportunity to write our own history, but yet and still we are led by symbolism, getting back to the Bill Clinton blowing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall, Hillary Clinton hanging up there with, I think it's John Lewis, who at one point said he, you know, I fought in the civil rights movement. Where was Bernie Sanders? Well, my argument to that was there were a million people there. How would you know if, in fact, that Bernie Sanders was there or not? You know, these cats, man, and our people are so quick to drink the Kool-Aid, they refuse to do the legwork that goes into researching, you know, the individuals that want to represent you.
I mean, look, it goes on. I mean, I mean, we could talk about Hillary Clinton's defense of the guy who raped a 12-year-old girl. You know, and Hillary beating this girl up during the course of that, that whole case. We could talk about Bill Clinton, you know, to prove himself to be tough on crime, executing a severely mentally challenged man. And the man was so mentally challenged that when they they were going to execute him. They gave him his last meal. He said to them, "Can you save my dessert for later?" He didn't even have enough understanding that he was about to be executed. But Bill Clinton needed to prove that he was tough on crime, that he executed this man. I mean, you know, we could just go on and on. We could talk about the Clinton Foundation. We could we could talk about the money now that will come out from these Panama Papers that I guarantee you will show offshore money for the Clintons. I almost guarantee you that's going to be in there. You know, Bernie Sanders, I think, dropped the football during the campaign and decided not to talk about her emails. And I don't think that Bernie needed to talk about them, but I certainly think that he could have had his surrogates rake her over the coals about her emails. You know, so all of these things that are really apparent, you know, in Hillary Clinton's background, you know, are just crazy, man. But listen,
in addition to that, I will also say that it's horrible when the news media outlets, New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, you know, they're complicit in drowning out drowning out Bernie, but also not dredging up, you know, the things that Hillary has done and stood for. They are, you know,
it's going to be interesting, though, is if she does become the nominee, because they've done what they've done, so they've not had her challenged on these issues, right? And they've not fully vetted her as I think the media should, so that voters and viewers of those stations could have a clear understanding of what's truly going on. Well, when she gets into the general election, be it with Trump or Cruz, all of these things are going to come out. And this is why I believe that when you look at those negatives and the fact that people already don't trust her. So with the media hiding information, right, she had her negatives of being untrustworthy are in the high 70s. And so imagine now when she gets into a vicious debate with Donald Trump or a vicious debate with Ted Cruz, and they start laying all of this stuff out there, there will be nobody on that debate stage to defend Hillary Clinton. There'll be nobody to defend Hillary against the salacious negative ads that are gonna run, and her untrustworthy numbers are just gonna skyrocket, man. I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, I do understand it. But,
yeah. Yes, indeed. You know, and you know, and continuing ever so slightly on that topic, our people, you know, much love for them. You know, you go back to slavery, the things we've, you know, we as a people have gone through. Fast forward to the 60s, well, maybe not even the 60s, the 40s, you know, all the lynchings, the 60s, though I think the last lynching, somewhere it's almost like in 1971. You know, and then, you know, the struggle for human rights, not just civil rights, but human rights in a country that you were brought to, you know, and then the constant beratement of, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not smart enough for this. You know, I think Bill O'Reilly said something the other night that, you know, black people weren't smart enough to do a job. And I mean, it's a troubling trend. But we as a society, as a group of people, have an opportunity to right our own ship. And so I'm going to pivot towards what I'm working on, you know, in the Upward East Orange movement. And
well, I want to do that, but hold that for one second, John. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. I got to do this. And then when we come back, we will delve into local issues. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Okay. If you're a business owner and you have safety or loss prevention concerns, contact BBSI today. We provide you with both armed and unarmed guards, as well as other security solutions to keep persons and property safe from harm. BBSI can also investigate and let you know if a significant other is cheating on you. BBSI is the premier industry service provider with active and retired law enforcement trained personnel ready to get you answers. Mention Eric and Osman, Real Talk Radio, when you call and get a free consultation for services. Call 1-800-493-1859 or visit our website at bbsillc.com. That's bbsillc.com today. BBSI, the detective agency you can trust.
Hey, this is All Things Political. This is Eric Dawson. April 12th is the date on the calendar, and I'm joined here by John Thompson Jr. From East Orange. And we just got finished talking about some of the national issues that are going on, some of the many challenges facing the African-American community in terms of identity and leadership within our community, and how we can, as John said in the last segment, right our own ship. We'll be keeping our eye on that. But what we're going to talk about now is Upward East Orange. So tell us a little bit about Upward East Orange, John.
Yeah, Upward East Orange came out of a growing frustration as to, you know, what was happening in the city of East Orange, my city, my adopted city. The foreclosure problems that were occurring, the excessive taxation, the huge water bills, and the fact that nothing was just being done. I mean, I drive through a lot of our communities, you know, within Essex County, Irvington, Newark, East Orange, Orange, you know, and they all, for the most part, if you remove the street signs, you know, they basically look the same. So, it was born out of frustration and knowing that there had to be a better way for a group of people to galvanize around the message to improve, you know, if not the world, at least a community.
Okay. So is Upward East Orange is it an organization? It's a 501(c)(3), C4?
I haven't had an opportunity to attach any of that stuff to it, those labels to it, but it's just a group of individuals who working together, you know, just to try and make the public aware that there are more options presented, that there are more options available to you than just accepting what is on the table.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So what is the goal of Upward East Orange?
Well, you know, I'll give you history on it. The way it, you know, it's a petition that was put together maybe about a year and a half ago, and the purpose is to bring $344,000 back into the community. And with that money, you know, and it's my hope that we can use it, you know, to create, you know, programs for kids, such as before care, after care school programs, create a ton of part-time jobs, maybe, 75 to 100 isn't really a ton, but it's enough. And maybe even establish evening basketball games that used to exist when I was a kid. I assume we probably are the same age, you know, give or take a year or two. But, you know, there was a time when I grew up, you know, that, you know, we had, you know, these things, you know, provided to us because we're a community. And so you look at the way our communities have been decimated by, and I dare not call out, you know, any one particular person, but it is a system that seems to be a cookie cutter process that you can put in any one of these communities. And it will serve the same purpose, which is, you know, lack of leadership, lack of ideas, lack of vision that does not add up to growing a community.
Well, I want to start by saying this. And you asked me what got me into building these radio shows, right? And right now, I produce three different shows. I produce Real Talk Radio, which was the flagship show with me and my co-host Asma Shabazz. And then from that, I branched off and created the show. And my co-host there is Veronica Branch. It's called School Matters. And now I have All Things Political. I don't have a co-host. I think at some point I may look for, if not a co-host, maybe at least three or four people, you know, who can alternate and join me from time to time, you know, just to bounce ideas off during the course of the show. But
right.
the idea was similar to what you're doing, right? It, just organizing, engaging the community to help provide information so that folks can be about the business of improving their circumstances, where they live. But what I did understand from the very beginning, man, is that there is no community, right? So we always approach the conversation about how to fix our neighborhoods, right, by saying, well, you know, we have to do something about our community. And I liken it to a contractor trying to start building a house on the third floor. You have to have a foundation first, right? If you don't, you know, the house is going to collapse on itself. It's actually
right.
physically impossible to start building it on the third floor. Much as I think it's impossible to have a discussion talking about something that doesn't exist and wanting to try to fix it, you have to bring it into existence. So we have, and so I am 40. I'll be 53 rather in less than a month, but. In my lifetime, I've seen, you know, in Newark and in Irvington and East Orange, I saw communities. I saw where neighbors from one end of the block to the other end of the block communicated, right? We didn't have social media and things like that. But everybody on the block knew what was going on in town because folks talked to each other. That doesn't occur anymore. So there is no
right.
communing, right? So it's because there's no communing, there's no community, there's no communication, there's no anything. And so we have to be about the business of building it. And so, you know, I launched these different shows, you know, and Real Talk Radio. I mean, we have hosted, we have over 7,000 listeners every Wednesday. School Matters, which is a big issue in the African-American community, right? In African-American
mm-hmm.
brown community. School's a big issue. And engagement is a big issue, right? Parents don't come to PTA meetings. They don't come to PTO meetings. They don't show up at parent-teacher conferences. They don't show up at, first day of school. Very few of them, you know, they don't show up at football games. They are not there. So my thought was try to meet people where they are. Get the information and put it in a place where they can get it. So we try to do it online.
Right.
So I understand the idea of trying to build a community, and I'm happy that this platform even exists for you to be able to come on, you know, and try to share with folks. So I would love for you to just continue to use any of the platforms, you know, that we're building to be able to reach out to folks and provide them with information.
Right.
But the other part, man, is empowerment, right? Folks, listen, power. Power, which is an empowerment. People don't just give up power. So all of the folks that you're talking about who are allowing, who are in power, who are allowing these conditions to stay in place, and flourish, right? They have no interest in changing things. And so if the folks who live in these neighborhoods want to change them, part of empowerment requires economic empowerment. And I saw in the flyer that you sent me, you know, you were talking about money. So that's really the issue, that folks need to be able to raise some sort of capital in order to challenge the system. Because if you don't have it, you can't challenge it.
And to that I will say – I'm slightly off to right or left. I'm doing this because the way I see it. So speaking of that money, the way, and I've done some serious thinking on this, which is why it took about some time to put it together. But in order to grab people and bring them in with this, that's a lot of money for the size of city that East Orange is. And if you can make it so where you can paint it that, you know, it really does, it really will help the community by bringing that money back in and creating these programs that are desperately needed, I think it's the First Amendment allows us the right to readdress our grievances with our government through the power of a petition. And I don't recall any other petition throughout the country, with the exception of maybe Colorado, and I'm not pushing this envelope just yet, but a recall vote, because they recalled two mm-hmm. senators because they voted for, I think it was magazine restrictions that the president was proposing a couple of years back. So that was the last successful petition that I recall throughout the country. If this petition works the way I believe it will, we already have roughly about 2,000 signatures. We need 1,600 more signatures. Technically, I want an additional 3,000 signatures. So that way, when it is challenged, you know, we can rise above and we can actually get this on the ballot come November. Come November. And the way the law is stipulated,
so you've gotten 2,000 signatures in what period of time?
In a matter of maybe about, say about a year. About a year.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Now, the petitions
are for what? What is the petition?
The petition is
what are you petitioning?
Pretty much, I am petitioning the elected officials who are collecting two taxpayers' dollars. Term
okay.
You may be familiar with is called double dipping. And so
correct.
If you can zero out, and because you know, I mean, look, some of these guys have, you know, other jobs making up to six figures, $120,000, $150,000. That money, which is in East Orange, $49,000, can go back to helping, damn it. You know, a kid find something to do other than nothing, which is hanging out on the street and potentially finding, you know, what most parents don't want their kids to find, which is trouble. If, in fact, if you can give a kid an occupation, even if, in fact, if it's from 3 to 6, which is pretty much prime time for kids to get in trouble, that's when juvenile activities are at their highest. I mean, you can take up all of that time, grow a community. Maybe even some of that money could be used to even possibly reduce property taxes. So for anyone to give you that age-old story that, you know, you can never reduce taxes, that's bull. That is bull. The thing is, most people aren't looking in the right places. So information is hidden.
So essentially, so what you want to do by November, to cut to the chase, your 344, the document I'm looking for is what you emailed to me. So it says, help Upward East Orange bring $344,400 back into the community. So so what you're contending is that $344,400 is money that current elected officials are getting by way of double dipping.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
And now you're saying that this is just in East Orange that this
it's not just in East Orange. Newark has a problem too.
Irvington, there's double dipping in Irvington. There's double dipping in East Orange. There's double dipping in Orange.
I will tell you this. So let's say use Glenridge as an example, Verona as an example, Bloomfield as an example. Some of them receive a stipend, and some of them don't even receive a salary. So to tell me, and, you know, I've had this conversation with a couple of people, well, you know, they deserve to be paid. Yeah, they deserve to be paid, but not at the expense of two paychecks. And if you look at your constituents, how can you even sleep with yourself knowing that, you know, you have so many people who are suffering?
I think it's a great idea, right? So I get what you're doing. I think it's a great idea. And, I mean, look, I'm down to even help you do it. My background, and I, you know, I'm going around like the Pied Piper through the greater Newark area, right, in Essex County, which is, you know, Montclair, East Orange,
mm-hmm.
you know, Maplewood, Irvington, And telling folks, look, I have a solid 26, 27-year background in corporate America as a global marketing executive, right? So that's what I do. I've helped companies make hundreds of millions of dollars teaching them how to connect people or consumers to products, services, or ideas. So I understand how to do it. I understand how to do it using social media, using traditional media. And I think that what you're talking about is a really, really good idea. I don't know how many people you have working with you, but my immediate suggestion to you would be broaden your base of people who can help do it. That you can find allies in Irvington, you can find allies in Newark, you can find allies in Maplewood, you can find allies in Orange, right? And you guys can work collaboratively to pull not only just signatures out of East Orange, but pull signatures from the county level. And like I
This only works in East Orange. So
why?
It's specific to East Orange because it is ordinances that are based upon East Orange. But it can work in all the other municipalities as well. East Orange, in essence, is, from my perspective, it is a case study that, if it works in East Orange, it can work anywhere in the country. That's how big this is. That's how big this
is. What's the ordinance?
And
what is the ordinance?
It is zeroing out elected official salaries if they are collecting equal or above their current salary, equal or above. And I argued over the specifics with the individual who helped me put it together. We'll get into that later. But you know what? All I want is an opportunity to see if, in fact, that we can help our community. And if it works in one urban environment, then it can work anywhere in the country, because this particular law stops in New Jersey. But I'm telling you, this law is on someone else's books as well. It is.
So you're saying zero out their salary if they make equal or above. So if I'm making $50,000
equal or more
at my councilman job. Right. So if I'm making $50,000, but then I go and take a job at $49,900, then I'm good. But if I take a job at $50,000.
Yeah,
right.
My intent was to zero the whole thing out, but you know what? All I want is the opportunity to see if, in fact, that we can do so much more with the little, and it doesn't require much in terms, but a signature. So, you know, you put your signature, your wet signature, because unfortunately New Jersey doesn't recognize online signatures. Put your wet signature on this petition. We bundle up enough of these petitions. We get our targeted number. We turn this in, and then we see what we see. That's it.
Okay.
It's that simple.
All right. And these are all East Orange residents.
Yeah, all has to be East Orange residents, registered voters.
Okay. So, listen, man, I am down. I am down to help. You know, like right now. So I don't know who you meet with, what your organizational strategy is, or what kind of literature you're getting out to the people in the community, but I will be more than happy to help you do all of that. And I
agree do appreciate
with you on this, that if you build this thing as a model, right, you can then take it and replicate it in other cities. And it is a thing, and I'll tell you, it is a thing that is that will garner a tremendous amount of support, because the only people that benefit from these politicians having two jobs are the politicians. So nobody else benefits. So everybody else. Now, here is the challenge that you will face, and this is just the reality of what takes place in the greater Newark area, right? You have retribution. So folks get to look at the names on those petitions. And unfortunately, in the black and brown community, we have far too many of our brethren and sisters who are dependent on government jobs. And who live two generations in a household, right? So you might have
this guy living there with his mother, or this girl living there, she's got her baby, and the mother's taking care of the baby, and so one of them in that household has a job, and it's with the city or the county, right? So you might have three or four signatures in that house that you might be able to get, but nobody's going to sign, because if any signature from that house shows up on something like that, that job gets lost, meaning that that rent can't be paid for that. For that family, so you
do
wind up
that.
With that kind
of, I understand that.
Yeah. So you wind up with all that retribution.
And to that, I would say, brother, there were 36,200 and some odd people in East Orange that are registered voters. We can overlook the 100 people that may work in City Hall. We can get out. We will get our numbers. We'll get our numbers. I did my research on that as well. We'll get our numbers. So you know whether people choose to get on board with this mission or not. It benefits the collective whole of the community, not just a few. Not like those individuals who are collecting two salaries. We're talking about helping, this is the greater good for a society that so desperately needs it. And if at some point in time, if there is an idea that, or a notion that people don't even think democracy lives, it does exist. It does exist. But you know what? In order to, what's that old saying, a journey of a million miles begins with a single step. We just got to take the steps. We do. And remember,
I'm not trying to discourage you by giving you that information.
I know.
I'm simply saying let's understand what the terrain is so we put on the right gear. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying if it's raining outside, we got to put on rain boots. Not flip-flops. So you understand? So if there's a dragon down the street, we need a sword. And we need a shield. So
yeah,
I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying let's just be prepared when we do go.
I do like flip flops, though.
But listen, man. I think that this is needed. Now I don't. I'm going to turn some people in Newark onto what you're doing in East Orange,
mm-hmm.
and tell them that they should, be working parallel effort there, because, I don't know how bad it is in East Orange, but here's some numbers for you out of Newark. You have council people, right, who are getting $70,000 a year as a council person. It's a part-time job in Newark.
Actually, it's 81,000. I got their numbers, too.
Is it 81 for the ward councilman, or is it 81 for the at-large councilman?
I think it's 81. I don't want to say his name, but I think it's 81.
You have an at-large councilman and you have a ward councilman. I think the 81 is for the at-large councilman. They get more money. But now listen to what they get for a part-time job, right?
Go ahead.
A part-time job, and look, I want to be about it. I don't want to co-opt your thing, but I want to share with you what I think might add information for people. A council person, their only job is to vote on a budget and, to look at budgets it's a legislative role, right? So it's proclamations and budgets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
They get paid in Newark. I'll give your number. They get paid $81,000 a year. They get a staff of 5 people.
Yeah.
They get a car to drive around in. And it's only a part-time job. And then some of them have $70,000 or $80,000 jobs at the county.
Yeah.
So they're at the county almost all day working, right? And meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
they're making – and so if you say it's a part-time job, so here's my question. Part-time to me means 4 hours a day. So are you spending 4 hours a day between 9 and 5 in City Hall? Because if you're spending 4 hours a day between 9 and 5 in City Hall, then you can't be in the county 4 hours – 8 hours a day, because your job at the county is not a part-time job. So you got a full-time job at the county. You got a part-time – I'm so with you.
Yeah, and, the thing is – people always look, beyond – and they see the corruption on the federal level, on the state level, but there's corruption going on right now in our backyard. Well, let me rephrase that. There's unethical behavior going on in our own backyard. That's it.
Yeah, man. I completely agree with you, man. And I think that we need to try to resolve it. So I am down. I'm down to knock on doors. I'm down to, you know, to help design what I think is much needed literature that just goes out into the community that informs the people.
I'm gonna need you.
And I'm gonna tell you something else. If you have 2,000 signatures, if you got 2,000 signatures, man, politicians, they will respond. People will respond to you based on the fact that you now, you know, have leverage to be able to get them voted into office or out of office. That's the key, that you have to have that leverage, right? So if you don't have money, which is, you know, which is a deciding factor, and then the next thing to have are, like, I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I told guys there, they were talking about raising money for some stuff. I said, you know, you have two forms of paper in politics. Well, actually, I'll give you three forms of paper in politics. One form is money, of course, right? The second form is petitions, right? And the third form of paper are registered voters. If you've got a stack of registered voters, man, if you go to any political meeting and you're holding a stack, say any stars, and you're holding a stack of, say, 500, 600 registered voters, you'll be able to sit at almost any political table, right? And they'll take you seriously. If you go into a room and you have a stack of 2,000 signatures on a petition, valid signatures on a petition, you should be able to hold court at any political function in East Orange. And so we just need to tighten it up. I think that we will, I think that we'll be able to make some strides. So I'm down, man. And so here's the question for people who are listening to the show and they want to get involved. How do they reach you, or how do they get involved? Where do they go to get more information about?
Well, they can go to Upward on Facebook, Upward East Orange. I think it's Upward EL. And, you know, leave your inbox messages to me if, in fact, you want to reach out. I am having my first official opening, so to speak, at 56 Melmore Gardens in East Orange. It's the Alpha Lodge. So, you know, I could use a couple of volunteers. There will be coffee, some donuts. And I am just trying to push this as much as I can within the community so that way I can get these numbers. And also, here's something else I want to add to this. In the end, what I want to also do, I want to go back and use this as my dissertation for my master's program. I would love to become a professor. I would love to teach a course on civic responsibility and how to keep the community engaged, because we need it. We need it as a society because – you know, Bill Maher said it best. You know, America, you know, we're a pretty dumb country. We are. And when you keep extrapolating information or, dare I say, walling off information from people and creating all of these wedge issues that people are so attracted to, such as the Kardashians or maybe, you know, gay rights or fat, tall, skinny, black, all of this stuff is designed for the most part to keep people's interests off of or focus off of what keeps us, you know, truly bound in our seat, which is, you know, the political system that just does not give two hoots about you or me. You or me. So,
you know it's funny. On one of my Facebook pages, there was a woman who commented. I forgot what the thread was about. Politics going on in Orange, right? So there's some mudslinging in the mayoral race going on up in Orange there. You know, flyers going around back and forth. There's a negative video out somewhere. And then she came on and said, you know, why can't we have local politics that are issue-based? And I said, because that's not what the electorate is interested in. not just on a local level, but on a national level. The ratings for all of these shows go up when they're talking about negative stuff. When they have Donald Trump on calling, you know, Ted Cruz a liar, when they have Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders beating each other up, that's when the ratings go up.
if they're sitting there talking about just the issues, then no, the numbers are not going up. People disengage. And the same thing here, to your point, these wedge issues. So as long as you can create, tension and sensationalism, because we get it on television, the Kardashians, the Atlanta Housewives, and all these other kinds of things, man, we have become a society that feeds on reality TV. Right,
yep.
And so 100% correct. Yeah, and that's what, because again, I'm in marketing, right? These television networks or a lot of these websites or newspapers and such, they're in business to make money, and they're in business to draw eyeballs, right? And the only way, if they know the only way that they're going to draw eyeballs is by sensationalizing something, then they're going to do that. Otherwise, they won't hit their numbers. Their sponsors will fall off, and they'll go out of business. So they're in business to be in business, not to give us information. So
you know your business, brother.
Oh, I do, man. Listen, man. So one of the other things that I think is really, really great, man, about what you're doing and just the timing of it, with social media being what it is, again, the connectivity like mm-hmm. that. You have an idea, you put it up, you get it out there into the community, people get engaged. You just have to now have, the next step because, again, our folks are, and by our folks now, I just mean the electorate.
Right.
We have short attention spans, right? So you can get them for a minute, right? They go, oh, yeah, I saw this thing. But there's so many things that are competing for their attention that if you don't hook them in, get them engaged on a regular basis, they'll fall off to something else. So
very
true. Would be to do that. So for all of you guys who listen to this show, I want you to go and find this on Facebook. Again, you can find Upward EO on Facebook, and you can get involved. And what you guys know is that I'm going to be involved. And so if you believe in the causes that I believe in, then this is a cause that I definitely think is a worthwhile cause. I want to thank you, man, for coming on. And what I want to tell you, too, John, is, I want you to come on. I'm going to talk to my co-host, Oz, who's going to listen to this show when it becomes a podcast. And so he's going to hear me say this. We're going to have you on that show because that's the one that we have a really big listenership, and folks need to have more information about this. But
okay, I'll be on board with
you again. This is a podcast, so you can take this about a half an hour or so after the show ends. You can take this link and you can share it in emails to people so that they can get connected. And, maybe what we do, but at least short term, is provide a segment of this show for anybody who wants to be involved in this so that we can talk to the community about how it's progressing, right? Because I think it's important for folks to see that things are moving, right? That, that there's been some progress. Okay, we got 2,000 signatures. You know what? This week we were out doing X, Y, and Z, and we got 200 more signatures. We got another 4 signatures, and then a countdown to November, I think might be a really great idea. So I'm going to pitch you later about how I can, how I can help and how I can help market it and get it going.
I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Hey, man, this was great. This was much more than I expected, and Gerald said that that I needed to make sure I had you on the show. So I'm glad I was able to get you. And, I'm going to have to sign off in a second. I want to do another commercial. But we'll talk soon. John, thanks so much.
Yes, we will, brother. Thank you so much, Eric. Have a great evening, brother.
Hey, you too. Bye. So before we go, I just have, I got to play this because this is my main man.
If you're doing everything right but find it harder and harder to get by, you're not alone. While our people work longer hours for lower wages, almost all new income goes to the top 1%. My plan? Make Wall Street banks and the ultra-rich pay their fair share of taxes. Provide living wages for working people. Ensure equal pay for women. I'm Bernie Sanders. I approve this message because together we can make a political revolution and create an economy and democracy that works for all and not just the powerful few.
Hey, last thing I want to say, this is All Things Political with Eric Dawson. It was great having John Thompson Jr. from East Orange on. I want to remind everybody next week, next Tuesday, is Election Day. In fact, at this time next week, polls will be closing. Make sure you get out and vote. There's a Board of Education election in Newark, and there is one in Irvington. I want to thank you all again. Tune in next week, All Things Political.
You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for All Things Political.